Welcome to this week's podcast from Gospel Lighthouse Church in Blytheville, Arkansas. Let's welcome Pastor JC, Senior and Lead Pastor of Gospel Lighthouse Church.
I'm going to turn to the book of Psalms, Division 37. Psalms, Division 37 and verse 17. It should be on your screen for your convenience, but as you guys know, we can always depend on that screen. Sometimes it will go bad. All right, if you find it, Psalms 37 and verse 17, shout, I have found it. This is what the word of the Lord says. It says, for the arms of the wicked shall be broken. But look what it says, but the Lord upholds the righteous. Everybody said the Lord upholds. Has anybody in this room needed God to help you stand, to hold you up in the midst of all your trials and circumstances you face? We're going to be talking about this 15th letter today, the prophetic truths about the Hebrew alphabet, and we're going to be talking about the letter Samach. Samach, to me, is one of my favorite letters to study. Take your neighbor by the hand as a point of contact and a sign of unity. Let's ask God's blessings upon this word. Father, we love you. We're so thankful for this teaching tonight. Teach our souls tonight. Teach our spirit. Remove John Kerry Seward. Remove him from behind this pulpit. Let you be seen tonight in this place. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody says, amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you for standing in the reverence of reading God's word. I want to teach tonight, and I want you to hear what the Holy Spirit says, not just what Pastor JC says. So we've talked about the letter Nun. Everybody say Nun. It's spelled N-U-N, but it's actually pronounced Nun. It was the 14th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Does anybody remember what Nun meant? Literally meant what? Swims in the water. We like to eat it. Fish. That's right. It's fish. Nun meant fish. So we learned that the first prophetic truth about Nun is that it represents faithfulness. How many are grateful for God's faithfulness toward us? So Jesus, we know, came to earth as a man. He was honored by his absolute authority while on earth. That's when he was given a crown of thorns as an earthly man. But now he's exalted as a righteous one who wears what? The golden crown of God upon his head forever and ever. It's amazing, Sister Charlotte, how the world, the devil always overplays his hand. That's a principle in God's word. And how everybody wanted to do this no king, you know, protest. But then everybody was talking about, well, I do have a king. His name's Jesus, right? Jesus is our King of Kings, right? And our Lord of Lords. Grateful for that. But we see something about this Nun. Nun is a bent vav, and it's suggesting that Jesus is actually a humble man. That's what the word tells us, that he came to this earth, he humbled himself, took the form of a man, and he gave his life for us. Well, James 4 and 10 tells us, and it'll be on your screen, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall do what? Well, that's exactly what happened. Christ walked in humility. He humbled himself, even the Bible says, even to the death of the cross. And yet God exalted him, lifted him up. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. And so God is a rewarder of those who are faithful all the way through. You got to be faithful in the good times and the bad times, right? So important to be faithful to God. Number two, the second prophetic truth about Nun is the symbol of activity in life. So I love this thought. The law first mentioned reveals that Nun is a clear picture of Jesus, our Messiah. Exodus 33 and 11 tells us, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face as a man speaks unto his friend, and he turned again to the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of young man, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. So that basically means God is speaking to Moses, Moshe, and God is speaking to Joshua, the son of Nun, as well. Okay? And so that tells us something. There's a reflectivity of Christ through this scripture. Joshua succeeded Moses and was able to enter the promised land. We know that. Moses didn't get to go in the promised land, but he got to see it, but he didn't go in. But we see Joshua got to go into the promised land, and then Joshua is a type of and a shadow of our Lord Jesus Christ, who not only does Joshua bring the Hebrews into the promised land, Jesus is brought us to the promised land through the death on the cross and the redemptive covenant that we have with him. How many is grateful that you're saved in Jesus' name? Number three, the third prophetic truth about Nun is the symbol of a fish. The symbol of a fish has its early roots in Christianity as an emblem of Jesus. The Greek word for fish is ichthys, which is an acronym for the Greek phrase Yesuos Christos Theou Euios Sator. And I cannot say, it's all Greek to me, literally all Greek to me. But it basically means Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Savior. And so biblical history has taught us throughout the Bible, has taught us God will always use a great fish. He'll always use a coin in a fish's mouth. He'll simply use his fishing to get our attention. And then our application a couple of Wednesday nights ago, our application is God has called us to be fishers of men, right? All right, so let's move to this one today. Psalms 37 and verse 17. It said, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." I love this passage of Scripture. Psalms 37 and 17. So we're looking at Samach. Everybody say Samach. And this is the modern written letter of Samach. It looks like a circle or a shield, okay? And then if you were living in a pro-Canaanite time, you will see, I always like doing this. I show Levi in my book that I have how the letters develop over the centuries. The millenniums, if you will, and it's amazing. But this would be the proto-Canaanite time. This would be pre-Canaanite. This would be during the time there. That looks odd, doesn't it? But that's what it would look like. And then Moses, if Moses was around, you were with Moses, and he wanted to say, you know, write something about Samach, there is what his looks like. It's kind of odd. And then I love this one because I never thought of it this way. Until I saw David's writing of Samach. This looks like a TV antenna, doesn't it? Who remembers having a television antenna? Now, I'm not talking about the rabbit ears. Anybody have rabbit ears? You'd put tin foil. You put tin foil on it, and you had to move it just right to get a reception. Well, this would look like one of those antennas outside the house, which they use now, which actually can get some... I think some of them are digital now, and you can actually get stations. But that's kind of odd that that looks like that, and there's a reason I think that's odd, and I'm going to tell you here in a moment. So Samach is the 15th letter, and 15 is a very important number, and it means to prop. Now, I did not draw this, so if you get a chance, you come up and look at the detail of Caleb. I asked Caleb if he could draw this so I could do some other things. Caleb drew the tree. Amazing artist. And... right here is what I would call a prop. And so this is like a board or maybe a log or something, I don't know, that would prop that tree up from bending. And so that's what exactly these two letters, or two words, Samach, actually means a prop and a shield. And then, and if you have those old King James Version Bibles and you go through your Psalms 119, you will have Aleph, you'll have Bet, you have Dalet, you have all those above certain numbers of scriptures. And then when you get to Samach, you'll have Psalms, and it should be up above 113 through 120. And that's a crazy, awesome, amazing way that God developed this. And so we're looking at Samach and a meaning prop. So let's talk about this here just for a few moments. The first prophetic truth of Samach is the endless an ever-ascending spiral of God's glory in the universe. Everybody say God's glory. I was studying today something completely different than my message. I was just going through some things. And I saw something where Christ talks about God's glory being shared with his people. Man, I would never take God's glory. I don't want to take God's glory, but I want to see God's glory, right? There's a difference there. But I thought, man, that's amazing. So I'm going to spend some time studying what Christ was saying. The spiral. Think about that. The spiral of God's glory. That means it's just encompassing us. This is what Samach is showing us. I want to be surrounded in God's presence. How about you? I want to be just so basking in his presence and his glory fall in my life. But for me to experience the 100% of God's glory, this flesh has to die. The flesh cannot handle the glory of God. The flesh will never be able to handle the glory of God. OK, Okay? And there's teachings and reasonings behind that. This is amazing. Now, I'm going to show you something. I want you to look at this. I was drawing this tonight, and, you know, I'm dealing with this disembarkment. I started getting a little dizzy. Don't get dizzy looking at this, but I want you to look at that spiral that I drew right there, okay? I want you to just focus on that, because I'm going to show you something in Scripture. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9. It says this, "The thing that has been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done, and that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." That's that verse, Ecclesiastes there, that verse is one of the greatest prophetic truths in the entire Bible out of Ecclesiastes. What it's basically saying is future events are concealed in past events, and history repeats itself. Exactly what's going on. Think about right now. What's happening in Tel Aviv? What's happening in southern Israel, northern Israel, the West Bank? The attacks from Iran that are happening. Has anybody ever felt under attack in the last week or two? I have been under attack. There's a parallel. It's a prophetic parallel. What happens in Israel at times also will take place in the church. And you feel the attacks. And the attacks, it's like it's intensifying. And it's getting, it's like if it's not somebody running their mouth, right? It is physical attack. From out of nowhere, you get some physical ailment, problem. If it's not that, it's a financial attack. Attack encompassing your whole entire life. And that's what's happening. The devil always overplays his hand. God is about to do something amazing in this world. That's going to be so incredible. He could, like I read some of his writings, a certain pastor, and he said something the other day. He said, no, Jesus could split the eastern sky at any moment. Man, wouldn't that be amazing? Are you ready? Am I ready? Something that we need to think about. But the time of the end will reflect events at the beginning. Everything in the economy of nature has its revolutions. So this is what's going on. This is fire of God's glory. What is happening in the earth? The earth is going through birth pangs. You have all of the earthquakes, all of the volcanoes. You have all of the, maybe perhaps tsunamis will be coming soon. You'll have all these things in a ring of fire. You have all these things that are taking place in places. I just read in Indonesia, another volcano just erupted. You have these earthquakes, two earthquakes outside of Strawberry, Arkansas. All of these things are what's happening. Earth is, I heard the pastor say today, the earth is vomiting. It's under distress, and it's because the sin in this world and sin and it's going on. And so God is about to change some things. He's about to do something mighty, and I want to be ready. I want to be prepared. So that is it. Nothing spiral. But the thing about this, when you look at this spiraling effect, and you say, I'm going from one, you're supposed to be going from glory to glory, like Scripture says, right? But I'm going from test to test. If it's not me, I'm having problems in marriage. If it's not my marriage, I'm having problems with my children. If it's not my children, it's like aspiring. But I'm going to tell you this right now, and you need to adopt this thought. Nothing ever spirals out of control without God's permission. Think about that. Nothing in your life will ever go so far out of control without God allowing it to happen. Okay, thank God for that. Number two, only two tonight. The number two one is this. The second prophetic truth about Samach is the priestly blessing. How many loves the priestly blessing? The blessing. We're going to talk about this. In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, verse 24. You should know this. We do this every service. The Lord bless thee. Let's all read this together at the count of three. Uno, dos, tres. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. I think we should give the Lord a good hand clap. I thank God for that. And so you look at Samach, and we're talking about gematria now. I'm going to go shift gears a little bit. Samach represents the number 60. That is, if you were to count it, and you were to find out a little bit of the gematria about it, Samach actually represents the number 60. Although, remember, every letter has its own value. Although it's the 15th letter, it has the value of 60. All right? There's a reason that it has 60. First of all, the priestly blessing, okay, There's 60. 60 is the same number of letters found in that priestly blessing that I just read, that we just read together, known in Hebrew as the Birkat Kohanim. Okay? I always write the Aaronic Kohanim on the bottom of my notes. I've done it for years and years and years. And so there's 60 letters. That's amazing. There's a connection there. But even more fascinating is the priestly's letter, 60 letters. In the 60 letters, they form, in that priestly blessing, are you ready for this? They form 15 words. Only God can orchestrate and calculate and calibrate something so amazing. Only God can do something like that. Man can never do that. This is so incredible to me. And so when you look at gematria, the word Samach comes from these three letters, Samach, Mem, and Kaf. When you put those three together, it is 120. So what does that mean? 120 represents the double portion of blessing given in both covenants of Christ. So you have the Aaronic Kohanim blessing, the blessing from the high priest of Aaron, and then you have Christ's blessing. Blessing. How many want to leave here tonight with a double blessing? I do. I want to walk in a double blessing. So how do I apply this to my life? We said Psalms 37 verse 17 says, "For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholds the righteous." I don't know about you, but every day of my life I need God to hold me up. I need a prop. Now, there's a difference, right, Sister Charlotte? There's a difference because I know you've been saved for a long time. Brother Vernon, Brother Dale, some of you have been saved for years and years. There's a difference by using somebody as a prop, as a crutch, okay? There's a difference because there's times in our life that we're going to definitely need God to prop us up, to help us, to uphold us, to keep us strong. It could be a word. It could be a fresh word of God. It could be someone's prayer. There have been times in my prayer time I literally could feel somebody praying. I used to hear people, when I would pray for people during the, when I started pastoring, when I began pastoring, people would come up and say, "Oh, I felt your prayers." And I'm like, how do they know I was praying for them? And then when people start praying for you, Sister Sandy texted me the other day and she said, "You've been on my mind." I knew she was praying for me. And she said, "I hope you're praying for me." I said, "Absolutely, I pray for her every day." And so it's just amazing how we can see God. But see, we can't, Brother Dale, we can't misuse and abuse the props that God puts in our lives. And that's where people, and I'll talk a little bit more about it Sunday, but that's where the church becomes split, where the church is injured, where there are soul wounds. It's because we're leaning on people when we should be leaning on the everlasting arms of God. Can somebody say hallelujah right now? Praise God. All right, so the best way to make true and pure application of this is to view the letter, the Hebrew letter Samach, in its ancient form to claim its biblical truth. And so we're using a pictograph. And the pictograph for Samach, get ready to be blessed. Get ready for double blessing. I promise you, after what I'm about to tell you, it will forever change your prayer life and forever change your life. I'm about to reveal. Only a few people in here know this. I'm about to unpack something that's going to change your mind and things you look at forever. I promise you it will. Samach also means shield, okay? I asked Levi if he'll draw a shield. He said, "I don't have enough time." That shield actually is more of a force field. Anybody ever watch Star Wars or any kind of sci-fi show, right? The best one's Avengers, okay? And they have, somehow, it's not just around them, but it's from the north, from their head, from their feet, just like the Kohanim would bless. They'll use a lavav, they'll use the palm branches, and on they would take it and they would wave them on the feet, the head, behind, in front, and then all around. And so they would do it all around. That's just a symbol of God's blessings all around us, even underneath our feet, above us. That's amazing. So that's what we're seeing here with this letter Samach. It's a circle. It's God encompassing us. This is we're there at Dothan, Elijah, and they're at Dothan, Elisha, and they're at Dothan. And he said to them, "Open those eyes and they may see." And what did he see? he saw a host of heavenly chariots on fire surrounding them. Woo, boy, I'm getting chills right now. Think that's Holy Ghost bumps, that's what that is. That's God surrounding us right now, protecting us. And so this is what's so amazing. Looking with me right now in Job chapter 1 and verse 9. It says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not thou made a hedge, everybody say hedge, about him and about his house and about all that he has on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. What was that key word, hedge? So Job is blessed. There's a hedge. I've always wondered, and I've shared this with Brother Dale, I've always wondered, what is this hedge? You know, when I think of hedge, I think of greenery, right? Between the hedges. I watch college football, Georgia Bulldogs, in their stadium, they have hedges around their stadium. I know you've seen it. You see it, you know, that sometimes they get tackled in them. I think, well, that may be the hedge. But really, spiritually speaking, there's something in this. This Hebrew word for hedge is the word suk. It's S-U-K, suk. And this is what it means. It means a fence. It means to shut in. It means formation. It means protection and restraint. So when I pray, now I want you guys to begin this. I challenge you to do this. You pray, when you put on the whole armor of God, okay? I put on the helmet of salvation. I put on the shield, you know, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of feet, the peace. I put on the, take the shield of faith. I take the word of God, okay? You do all those things, right, what you normally do, but then add the Samach shield. And then say, Father, I put the Samach shield encompassing presence of God to protect me on all sides. Start declaring that. Start saying, I want the Samach shield. I want this Samach shield on my life from every direction, encompassing presence. That's what that hedge was protecting Job. Remember, the only way the enemy can get in your life is God gives him permission. You are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And if the devil tries to get in, he's trespassing. And you have every right in the... Am I right, Brother Vernon? You have every right and authority to cast that devil out. To command him to get out. Get off your life. And so, Proverbs 18 and 10, it'll be on your screen. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. All right? This Hebrew word for safe is the word sakab, S-A-G-A-B, sakab. And it means, I love this, to be exalted above captivity, inaccessible, or too strong. So that's what's happening. That's what's going to happen with the church. When the rapture happens, whether it's pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, whatever, it's going to take place. This is what's going to be so amazing, is that God is going to lift up the body of Christ, the remnant, the true faithful, and they are going to be inaccessible from the attack of the enemy. That's why you say the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord, not the name of the church, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it, okay? And they find that safety. They find that safety, and that word is sakab, exalted above captivity. Praise God for that. I'm thankful for this. That's been my prayer. That has been my prayer. It's always been, and it will always be. God, cover me with your Samach shield, your encompassing presence to protect me at all times. Let's stand together. What if we all determine tonight, I want to be surrounded by God. I want to be surrounded. I want my children, my home, to be surrounded by God. I want you to close your eyes for real quick. Sister Michelle, just stand right there and listen. I want to minister to you in the spirit because I saw something just now. I saw attacks coming. And it's not necessarily, remember, we're not fighting against people. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but I want you to see this. There's spiritual attacks coming. They've been coming. They've been warring against you. And I'm praying right now, Father, surround her, God. Surround her with your protection, your Samach, shield, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Your tesseract, your Samach power, your presence, Father. Protect her, God, in the might, from the crown of her head to the soles of her feet. Nothing can compare to the blood of Jesus. So we plead the blood of Jesus over her life in the mighty, name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for it. We give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor. Thank you, Lord. Father, bring healing to this church, to this body of Christ. Father, bring healing to their bodies. Bring healing to their somebody dealing with migraines. In the name of Jesus, I command these migraines. I want you to take your hand and put it on your forehead. In the name of Jesus, these migraines to go, these headaches to go. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you for healing us. Thank you, Lord. We give you glory and we give you honor for all that we do. Glory to your name, God. Praise your holy name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Listen to me very closely. Don't buy into the lie. Don't buy into the lie of confusion. Don't buy into these lies the devil's trying to confuse you. Hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Our ideology, our thinking is nothing compared to God's thinking. His ways are higher than our ways. Our thoughts are not even compared to His thoughts. You have to trust the Lord. You have to trust the Lord. Trust Him. Trust Him in all things. Trust the Lord. Thank you, Father. Now I want us to do something real quick. Let's pray for the peace of Israel. Father, so much is happening. There's a lot of junk on YouTube, Father. We know it. There's a lot of misinformation on YouTube. People are jumping to conclusions. Help this church, help Gospel Lighthouse Church quit following this nonsense. Help us to follow the Spirit. Help us to hear from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Now we pray for the peace of Israel, as your word tells us, the peace of Jerusalem. There may be peace within our walls, prosperity within our palaces, Father. We thank you today, God. We believe that you're going to move our Father in heaven, our rock and our Redeemer of Israel. We pray, Father, for Israel. We pray, shield it with your loving kindness. Envelop it with your peace. Bestow your light and truth upon all of the leaders and grace them with your good counsel. Father, even our leaders, grace them with good counsel. Strengthen the hands of those who are defending the Holy Land, both here and abroad and at the Holy Land itself. Grant them deliverance. Adorn them with the mantle of victory, Father. We pray, ordain peace in the land and grant its inhabitants eternal happiness. We also pray for our Palestinian Christians and the Palestinians and everyone that's involved from Jordan and on, God, all the surrounding areas, Lord. Even the Christians, even those that are hiding out, Father, these Iranians, Lord. We pray, Father, to protect them and strengthen them. Be with the children as well who are caught in the middle of all this nonsense. We pray, draw our hearts together to revere and venerate your name and to observe all the precepts of your word. And send us quickly, Jesus, our Messiah, Son of David, agent of your vindication. Redeem us all who await deliverance from you, Father. It only can come from you. Politicians has not the answer. Jesus is the only answer. We pray, manifest yourself in splendor of your boldness and before the eyes of all inhabitants of your world. And may everyone endowed with a soul affirm that the Lord God of Israel, Jesus Christ, is King. Those who are anti-king will one day have to kneel and bow before Christ and confess that He is Lord of all. And Lord, we pray, God, that you will just move and bring healing and protection, God, in this land.
To find out more information about who we are, our ministries, and our service times, please log on to our website at myglc.org.